I had horses struggling with their health. Shelly hooves, sensitive feet, and a worrisome metabolic state. Despite my best efforts to improve their diet, I felt like I was still missing a key solution.
After doing a deep dive into nutrition, Jesse and I learned that even with quality feed, the form of the mineral matters most. Many supplements are traditional mineral sources that have lower bioavailability, which means a horse's body can struggle to use them efficiently.
Kiss Trace uses the highest quality minerals for superior absorption. Within a few months, a transformation began to happen. My horses became sound, I noticed them starting to play more because they felt good, and their coats became brilliant and shiny.
Kiss Trace is a family-created product built on passion for quality. Jesse and I have been feeding it for years with great results, and that's why we love it so much. Give your horses the nutritional foundation they need for optimal health. Find Kiss Trace at thornybottomfarm.com. That's T-H-O-R-N-E, bottomfarm.com.
Alrighty, hopefully you're all set up and you're ready to go. Now, because you've already done lesson 22, we know that our horse knows what the round pen is. I'm here today with Pete. I'm going to go ahead and walk us over. Okay, before I even get into the round pen, I'm going to stop and have him turn his head away. So he, not turn his head away, but straighten his head out, really, is what it where he is by now. So he kind of knows we have this little piece in place, and I remind him, and that's great. And I clicked and reinforced him for that. Now I'm going to step in, and we're just going to start with our general walking. Now, my goal is to get me further from him in this session and a little bit more duration in this session. But what I'm going to, so my big goals are trying to introduce my new cues with me kind of fading more towards the center. So that's my goal. While I have other goals on top of this, for now, this is my goal with him. But I'm going to start to get him thinking what we're doing and reminding him what we're doing by just starting Liberty Leading on the edge with him. So we're going to kind of just start, and we're going to walk a bit. And Petey, I'll just talk while we're walking. Good boy. Okay, click to reinforce him just to kind of know we're on the right track. One of the things about Petey, Pete is a little bit of a slow horse. While I prefer working with the go-y horses, I chose Pete because he kind of has the other issue. Working with a really go-y horse isn't so problematic because they go and go and go, and you're really working on the downward transitions. But I find the bigger challenge in this part, so and then we're shaping what we want to see them doing. But I think for a lot of horses, the harder part sometimes for these horses is the horses who don't like to go, that aren't as go-y, who can be a little more stuck, who can be, you know, a little more, I don't want to. And that's Pete. So that's why I picked Pete today, as well as he doesn't know it. Murray knows it, flies around, he's great. Pete, not so much. Okay, so now we've walked a couple times, and even in the midst of me talking, I clicked and reinforced him for walking with me. And then I went from my normal steps to baby, those little super slow steps, which are quite hard for the horses. And then I went back to my really big step, and that gave Pete, again, a little bit of break from the hard part. While I've reinforced those little stubby steps a lot, this time I reinforced the moving past it. So when I took a big step and he went, oh, thank goodness, and he stretched his front hoof out, I said, that's exactly what I want. So I want him to think going a little bit. I'm going to kind of be working a little more at the trot today is my goal. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask him to trot. So I'm going to trot myself. So good. And clicked and reinforce him to let him know that we're doing good and he's doing great. Now, on this next one, I feel like he's really with me and paying attention. I have him indoors in the indoor arena, which has fewer distractions than the outdoor arena. So kind of setting myself up for success that way. But what I'm going to do now is I'm going to start the walking, and I'm going to start fading towards the center. Now, I'm not going to go, he's not ready for me to be standing in the center and moving around. He doesn't know that much. But I am going to fade in about 6 feet, I'd say. So I'm going to start walking. And we're going to, and he's good. And I didn't say walk on, and I should have. But there you go. That's what we do. So he's walking. And now click him and I'm reinforcing him. So I faded myself to the center. I didn't use my verbal cue, and that's just me. I just forgot, to be honest with you, but I did think about raising my arm up. For a second, he had a hesitation before I walked on. I raised my arm and then I walked on, and I could see him kind of look at my arm. And then as my feet started moving, he just started walking. So that was really good. And I could have said walk on, but I was busy chatting and forgot. So I'm going to try to be a little bit more focused on that this time. But as I faded myself to the center, and I'm giving him a couple good handfuls for that, as I faded myself to the center, he kept going. So I continued to walk in a circle. It was just a smaller circle. I kept eye contact with him and I kept my shoulder to him. So when I want him to stop or slow down, I'm going to square up towards him. So my shoulders will be, I kind of close that angle with it. So as we're going together, we're kind of walking towards the same direction. And when it's, but because my arm's back a little bit, my body's a little bit open, but we're, and my eyes are on him because I'm watching him, which does create a little more, I gotta be able to move comfortably too. My biomechanics are important. So as I have an eye on, but when I want him to stop, I'm going to say ho, and I'm going to face him. I'm going to square up and stop leading forward, and my arm will drop down so that he starts getting the idea that that is my cue, in as addition to saying ho. Now that last time I clicked and I ran out to feed him. Now, one of the things he did for me that I want you to be aware of and something to think about, I ideally, for me, you can have him do whatever you want. I want the horse to stay in the circle. I don't want the horse to turn and face me. I want them, their head can look at me, but I'd like them to preferably keep their bodies on that circle. I want them to just stay there. And so I click and run out and to feed him. Now, if he turns to face me, instead of making a big deal about it, all I do is take a step forward so that he has to straighten out in order to take the food. So it becomes something that pretty soon, and I know this from experience, they'll start to anticipate. So they start to anticipate that you're going to be feeding forward, they start just stopping straight and staying straight because they're going to end up having to feed out there. And in fact, I will feed them a little bit on the outside, you know, so I reach my hand under their head just a little bit. So in order to get the food, they actually put their weight on that inside leg, which makes sure it keeps their body a little bit more leaning towards the inside. I hope that makes sense to you. So that is probably something you will encounter. I find most horses do that. And that's no problem. They'll sort that out in a bit. That's not really something we're going to dwell on. But if we remember to feed forward, we'll kind of be addressing that issue along the way. Okay, so that was a little chatting time. So Petey, you good? Now I'm going to start from Pete, not right against the rail like we have. I'm going to be in about 4 feet. So instead of being like 2 or 3 feet, I'm going to be in an extra couple feet so that I am a little further in, but I still have eye contact. He knows I'm with him, and I am going to ask him to walk on again, but with my cue this time. Okay. Ready? Pete, walk on. Okay. And I'm clicking right away. I click that one right away. And that's because he just moved right away. So I said, walk on. And then hand came together. Then my feet started moving, but he didn't kind of take that pause and look at my hand. And as my feet started moving, he moved. So I want him to just think about the cue just a little bit there. So that early bridge, we call it, because I bridged it early in the behavior there. I could have had the behavior go on a bit, but I bridged it early to let him know that he's on the right track. And those early bridges are actually really, really good for motivation. Again, a horse like Pete, who maybe doesn't always feel like going is the funnest thing, he went brightly with me. So I could say, that's good. That's what I like. I like that you're listening. You saw my cues. We moved on. And that was great. So that was good. I'm going to give him another handful here. Okay. And he's chewing. And again, I'm kind of off a little bit. So I'm a little more towards the center. And I'm about the same as I was last time. I just want to have a little bit more duration for this one. So, ready? Walk on. Now we're walking and he's doing great. And I'm kind of sidestepping in just a little bit. So I'm drifting from him a little bit more. Still have eye contact. My body placement still is the same place with him. Good. And I'm going to click that and I'm going to feed that. So I went, I'm going to trot right over there. Good boy. And I'm feeding right up here. And he's one that he tends in a little bit. Not as much as some, though. He kind of is a little lazier, so I think he has a tendency to think, I'll just stay here. So I'm feeding him up there. Now, if you have, keep in mind, Petey is a little more slow, a little prone to less movement rather than more. So what I'm looking for him to do is to have more bridges are coming for his upward transitions and movement versus his downward transitions and quieting. If you have a horse who is very bright and rather go-y, keep your pretty heavy influence on the downward transitions and the slowing, because that's an important part for them, is you want to be sure you have that. Now, I also need to, Petey can get a little tense in his focus and wanting to do stuff. He kind of thinks, I should do something. I want to do something. I want to do something. I want to do something. So I do make sure that I have times that I ask him to slow down. But with the slowing, I'm actually looking for the softening a bit, you know, so he doesn't look like I'm slowing and looks tense. I actually look for his eyes to soften a little bit, his head carriage to get a little bit lower, for him to soften in an emotional component into that downward transition. So I hope that makes sense. So just for posterity's sake, I'm going to do that with Pete right now. I'm just going to stand. I kind of soften my shoulders. This is what I find I do when I really want to communicate. I just want to stand shoulder to shoulder, nice and relaxed, is I have a tendency to take a deep breath and I let my breath out. I just let my breath out. I soften my shoulders. So everything says I'm not doing anything, and make sure then Pete was good with that. So I'm going to reinforce him for that. If I let this all go to a big activity, I can get Pete getting more and more tense. So I want to be sure, these are little checks for Pete, because he's a little more tense, that I want to do to, we've worked hard to help him be more relaxed. And this is, I need to kind of have those checks in there for his sake. Okay. So that was great. And so we're going to do this again. Now this time I'm going to fade myself from, so my circle is like 10, 12 feet wide is my circle that I'm on. So that means it's a pretty small circle, really. It's probably maybe 10 feet wide. As I look, I'm looking at the ground trying to size up where I want to get to. And so I'm going to see if we can't go in a little bit and if he can't keep the walking on. Now, this is going to be easier to do and then maintain at the walk, because walking isn't so hard for Pete. He doesn't mind the walking. Trotting, he may take it as, I don't really know, so I'm just going to drop out. So I'm going to kind of work this at the walk for a bit to be sure he gets it. Okay, Petey, ready? Let's go. Walk on. And so now we're walking, and he's doing great. And he's just walking on. And that's great. Okay, click. I clicked him. Because he kind of went into a nicer walk. He went into a little bit more energetic walk without looking like he's about to trot. I feel like he picked himself up a little bit and it looked more like a working walk. And I know my goal is to get to the center there, but I just wanted to say, yes, that was a nice one. That's not necessarily my criteria as we build our duration. We'll get back to that. But if you're going to give it to me, I'm going to say thank you. So that was lovely. So we'll try that again. Okay. Ready? Walk on. Okay. So now as we're walking and we're walking along and he is walking nicely now, and that's really good. I'm fading to the center and I'm going to just step up my energy and my walk just a little bit. So as I fade to the center, I have to realize I'm now moving less. So I need to move more on my little circle. So I'm kind of going around in my circle and I want him to keep his energy bright without me not being right beside him. And this is great. And he's going around and he's keeping his energy, is still matching my energy from far away. So that is great. I'm going to click and run out and feed that. So that was really good. Now, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to see about the whoa, which I think for Pete, this will be a non-issue. But for most horses, it is an issue, because my go-y horses that I work with a lot, they have a tendency that the downward transition is harder because they're like, this is great. I love moving. So I have really established it really strongly at the at the other gates for, I mean, with walking with them for these horses. So there is a strong influence. They do have a strong reinforcement history of downward transition. So they think they're really important and very worthwhile. And pretty soon by now, they actually like them. But sometimes when we get them too go-y, they can be like, but this just feels great. So I'm going to work this exercise and we're going to do it at the walk first because it's going to be setting the go-y horse up for success. It's setting anybody up for success because I think Pete would drop down regardless. He'd be like, I'm good. But we want to walk through it and make sure that I have it at the walk first. And if you need to, there is another vocabulary word I tend to use for my really go-y horses. I will use the word easy when I'm downward transitioning a bit, but not a full downward transition. I'm not going from trot to walk because then I would say walk, but I would say or walk to hoe, but I'd say, okay, I'm going to slow it up a little bit. So if I have them going really bright trot, and that's easy, and I will slow down a bit. So they start to understand that word, and you can use that word when you're going to the downward transition for a horse who's rather go-y. So it gives them a clue that we're about to change and slow down. So it helps give them a little bit more information as they learn the new cues. Okay, so you may have a different issue than I'm going to have. I think I'm not going to have an issue with this, but you might. So that's just food for thought. Okay, Pete, let's go. Walk on. So we're walking. And that he's doing great and he's doing good. His walk has picked up and he's got to a good place with it, which I quite like to see. And easy and ho and perfect. Good. And I clicked. And so I'm running over to feed. One of the things I did there, as I said, ho, again, I dropped my hand and I squared up my shoulders. So instead of kind of walking on, I'm not really walking anymore. I have faced him and so all my momentum slowed down and so did his. And he did do, as I anticipated, he did quite nicely with that. So I still fed him on, kind of came into me. I still fed him straight because I would like him to hoe straight on that circle until he gets different information. My thinking on that is I want you to stick with what we're doing until we have new information. Now, remember earlier I clicked and that click terminated the behavior. So I didn't say whoa because the click told him, yes, you've just earned some sort of reward. Look to me for your reward. So I'm using the bridge as what we call a terminal bridge signal because it terminates the behavior. So I didn't need to use a hoe because he knows I'm going to check in with my human now. So that was keep in mind that that's how we're using it. So if you're thinking, but I didn't hear you say hoe, there's different ways I can get him to hoe at this point. Okay. So that was really good for him. So what I'm going to do now, this time I'm going to try the trot. Now, again, you may want to, little preface here, you may want to stick with the hose for a little bit. If you didn't get that really well or your horse is very go-y, practicing it a few times is really a good plan. Pete is prone to it, so I don't feel like I need to practice, but you might want to stop for a moment and practice that a few times to get that good before, get that in place before you're going up to the trot. Okay, so I'm going to move on and go up to the trot. If you need to stop for a minute, you can get back to me in a moment, but we're going to go up to the trot and ready, Pete. Okay. And trot. And so I'm trotting close to him right now. So I am trotting close to him right now. And then now I'm fading myself to the center a bit, but I'm keeping my trot kind of bright. Good. Clicked and I fed. So as I started fading to the center and I wasn't part of it, I could see him for a moment look at me like he was kind of thinking, where are you going? And what should I do with it? And that's a point I thought he might drop down a little bit. So I'm feeding him a lot right now. And actually, I think I'm going to end it there with him. I think that was great. So as I could feel like he looked at me like, well, where are you going? And I felt like he made a decision. Am I going to trot or am I going to go? So what I did is he started looking at me. I went at a little brighter trot. So I'm further away, but I kind of lifted up my energy a little bit to remind him, no, keep going. The trotting is really important. He went with that and that was great. And I saw him go, okay, and go back to trotting. So I love that decision, particularly from him, because that's a little bit more of his issue. So I'm going to leave that there right now. And I'm feeding him a bunch for that piece, because the upward transition is his challenging part. And I think that is good for now. So I am going to wrap it up. I'm going to give him his, I have a pan in here in the center. So I'm setting it out on the a little rubber, you know, feed pan. And I'm feeding him his jackpot right then and there. So he knows that this is his jackpot. And I'm going to step out of the arena and give him a minute to eat, because I put a bit in there. And then when he's done, I'm going to take him home and we're going to prepare for our homework. So I want you to wrap up. Remember, we don't want super long sessions. You may need to practice a different component a couple more times depending on your horse. So you work that out a little bit. When you're ready, you turn it off and go meet me back in the classroom and we'll get prepared for some homework.
Stop worrying about what you're feeding in your training sessions. Give your horse a treat that's genuinely good for them. Grazer's NutriTreats are the forage-based solution that makes healthy training simple.
They are the ultimate high-value reinforcer, yet they're safe for your horse. No added sugar, and they're even safe for metabolic horses. Each treat includes beneficial electrolytes and probiotics to support his gut and maintain balance.
Training should be fun and focused. We love Grazer's treats for their non-crumbly, non-sticky, pocket-friendly design. You'll love them too. And yes, we do use them in our sessions, and our horses love them. See the difference in your horse's focus and health without the worry. Order your 5-pound bag today at equinebalancesupport.com. That's balanced with an ED. Equinebalancesupport.com.
So, we're going to get ready for some homework. Homework, of course, is very important. If you look at it, really, this was kind of an extension of our homework and knowing where do we go from here and how do we do it. So we're going to cover all that. All righty. So now there is clearly a lot more we can do with the reverse round pen. We've just worked on these basic little pieces to get us going and to start to get our horses in shape and get them balanced and first start learning the concepts. But then as we go, we're going to need to build more duration with that and get them where they can be, continue with that and choose to continue with that. That's your challenge, folks. These horses can go do whatever they want out there. You know, we're not chasing them. They're choosing to be there. So if we start getting too much stopping, quitting, not wanting to do it, it means we're not really going slow enough, or our rate of reinforcement isn't high enough, or our sessions are too long. So we need to get them. And also another thing we can really be doing for our horses that we may not be aware of, if they're not fit and we start asking them to do a lot and they give us that, they can come back sore. You know, think about, I remember going to the gym one time and the gal, I go to the gym, I'm like, okay, personal trainer, help me. I'm ready. It's my first day. And she has me doing so many doggone exercises that just killed my legs. I mean, I couldn't walk up a step without crumbling. I mean, it was just ridiculous how sore I was. And I was just weakened. And that wasn't really the best way to go, because one, that ended up being very aversive for me for the next few days as I struggled to move everywhere I went. And I was so really overtired and too sore and too much too soon that it really soured me to it. And I didn't go back to that person. So I think that's something that was a great lesson for me to realize that our horses also aren't really in shape. Moving differently, moving, you know, in a balanced way can be really hard for the horses, and learning to use themselves and carry themselves and get a little brighter. All of those pieces take a new set of muscles. So if a horse is really out of shape, you know, if you take somebody's really out of shape, say trot to the mailbox, that may just be too much, you know, or that could have been all they'd done. So we need to really recognize that and not think, this is ridiculous, you're out of shape, I'm gonna whoop you into shape. We need to help them learn how to like it and enjoy it and build up their stamina and build up the muscles that they're going to need to be able to do more and more and more. So obviously that takes a lot of repetition. But one of the things I want to point out, it doesn't really, the best repetition for building duration means short sessions with the breaks in between. And not give them, when you're talking about muscles, think about our muscles. They need time for lactic acid to, you know, they need to rebuild. They need days off. They need time to build on that. So our horses are not any different. We need to really give them the time to do it. So it doesn't mean going out and drilling them, because if you drill them, they will come back and say, I hate this arena with that thing in it. You know, we want to build it up slow enough that we really can keep them getting in shape and building up a little bit more and a little bit more. So a great way to do things is not just, again, I'm going to really just reiterate that because this can be a relative concept. It's not going on where we're drilling and doing over and over and over and over and over and over or 15 times within one thing. Within one session, but maybe you do a little bit, just a little bit, and you think that was a little bit more than yesterday. You give them a little break and do something else for a bit that doesn't require much physical, you know, you work on lifting their legs or, you know, going to their stationary target, and then you come back and do a little bit more. So it is, you're building up slowly, but you're giving them that little break in between so that they don't become soured to this whole process. We can get them in shape, and in time they will like and go and go and go and go, and we'll have the stamina and the muscles to support that. But we got to go really slow and kind of respect that. You know, this is one of the things sometimes people say, yeah, it was great. It's the first day of spring. I got on my horse, who I haven't ridden since November. And we went for a 2-hour, you know, ride up the hill. You know, and I think, well, if somebody just piled a backpack on you and made you climb a hill for 2 hours when you haven't done anything since November, that might be really hard. So trying to really recognize that and respect that is more challenging than we think. And the biggest thing I think that people kind of forget and take for granted is when we start to get our horse, we're really trying to work on collection and moving forward and using themselves well. Well, that takes, if they haven't gone like that, to get to start reaching under themselves and lifting their back and lowering their head and all those pieces that start to get that back end kind of going and locomotive, it takes a long time for those muscles to truly develop where they can sustain that. So as we get them going first, and then we're going to start shaping the pieces that we want. So in this homework, what I would like it to see you doing is, one, get it to where you can be more in the circle, or more, your circle is much smaller, and you can make it very small. But I think when we start to add in canter and stuff, we need enough of a circle that our energy can communicate to them what we're doing. Eventually, we could just stand in the center and do it and say, walk, trot, canter, and we can just stand there and they go. But as we're kind of transitioning, get to where the circle is smaller so we can also sustain it, and then get that going first. That should be your first criteria, is get them going and understanding the cues and be able to go and go around for a few times. Their transitions are good. They can hold it for a bit, and that's great. But the next piece we really start to be, or what you start watching for as they go, start watching them starting to fix their how they go a little bit more. So that, you know, when you have those nice transitions, recognize that. And that tells you something. If it's smoother and nicer, it means it's not so hard. They're not having to heave themselves up into the trot. They can actually just pick it up with their bodies easier. So look for those pieces there. You can reinforce those pieces, but it's also information to tell you how they're doing. But as you start doing that, you start seeing it, okay, maybe your horse is a little high head, hollow back. That's not ideal, but you've got them going first and said, we're going. And then you see your horse reach down a little bit and you can start to go, well, that's better. Down is, that can be your next criteria. You know, where you, hey, excuse me. So that can be your next criteria, where you start to say, okay, I want your head down a little bit, but not so down so far that it's too heavy on the hind end, but then on the front end. But then what you tend to start seeing is, when they do that, you start to see that their back kind of lifts a little bit and their hind end comes under a little bit. You start clicking those pieces and saying, that's a little bit better. And that's a little bit better. And that's a little bit better. And pretty soon your criteria is looking for the horse to be using himself more correctly as he goes forward. So I think that is an important component, and that should be where we're shaping and going towards. And that is when we're preparing them for ridden work. But what it's really working on is balance. And what becomes the biggest kind of contender in the ridden work, now they have another thing to balance up there. They have this thing sitting on them that may or may not be balanced. So helping them get their own balance is really an important part of it, as it strengthens the muscles and shows them how to go to determine their determine their balance without the human involved. So I think that is really important, and taking it in that general direction is where I really want you to go next. We are going to come back to this, and we are going to say, we're going to talk about in a later lesson, because I want you to work on this for a while. And so I'm not going to give you the lesson right yet. We're going to do it later, but I want you to work on these components, because there's a lot of homework that can pile. It's like a semester's worth of homework that you can work on really for getting them ready for the person. There's a lot of pieces to get strong and strengthened and getting your horse to go as you like and seeing him get more balanced in doing that. And then we're going to go to how do you incorporate a rider in this, and then how do you go from there? But we're not doing it yet, because I encourage you to work on it a bit and not jump ahead before you've had time to give your horse time. Okay, so that is your homework for today. So it's for a while, because there's a lot of pieces to that homework, and it can be a lot of fun for your horse and a great way to get exercise out. And going in, we're right now, if you're listening to it while this is first being aired, this is going to be getting colder, which is going to be easier for your horse to go in those slow horse to go. So it's actually, we're going into a great season for the horse who's not very forward moving, but it's going to be a more challenging season for the horses who have a lot of energy. But then it's a great time to work on our impulse control, and it's a great way to kind of get exercise through the winter if perhaps you don't have a setup where you can ride through the winter. So, or you have feet that get too cold. So there you go. All righty.
The conversation doesn't end here. Every horse deserves a happy, confident partnership, and we want to help you build that.
If you're the kind of person who is truly dedicated to making that happen, you'll want to join us in our community and watch your relationship with your horse become what you've always hoped it could be.
Head on over to our website to explore Shauna Karish Equine membership. You get immediate access to all of our courses, live coaching, uncut problem-solving videos, and the ever-so-helpful Learning Lab study groups.
The fastest way to level up your training is to join us. So find everything at shaunakarish.com today.
So that's it for today. I hope that you enjoyed it and you have given you a lot to think about and things to work on with your horse. So until next time, enjoy getting your horse on target.